Welcome to episode 3 of White Belt Radio.
Episode 3 years in. At this pace, we're doing an episode a year.
We've taken about a couple months off, and we're back in action. We got Pete over here. That's me, blue belt. We
got Cyrus.
Huh?
What's your belt?
Your mom's belt.
Okay. We got Yanni.
White belt.
White belt.
White belt.
And that's Tony.
Tony, white belt.
Cyrus is A.
Oh. I'm white belt too.
So I got rank in here.
Shh. I'm a white belt.
All right, cool, dude. All right, man. So what's been going on since the last episode? Not much has changed.
Still getting basketball.
Yeah, I'm still getting beat in tournaments. Yeah, last time we talked about how I was having a hard time in tournaments and how you were relating that to public speaking and basically we just got to do it more, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Cyrus, I have a question for you. Where the hell have you been? You're supposed to. When's the last time you trained?
It's like a week ago.
When's the last time before?
Oh,
that?
Shit. Oh, yeah, you're
right. So we trained together. Well, it's been a month and a half.
A month and a half off?
2 months, maybe.
All right.
Enjoying myself.
You got to get back to it.
You fuck you, man.
Okay.
All right, we got a new white belt in the house. His name is Yanni. Say hello, Yanni.
What's up?
How long have you been training?
Yeah, how long have you been training?
I'm over 2 years now.
2 years?
Yeah, I've hit that, yeah.
It gets up there real quick. Right?
Yeah, but it was like four months, I think I started, and then got this job.
Like how much actual training, like without breaks? Like moving and changing.
Yeah, that's 2 years training.
Solid training?
So, yeah. I took breaks in between, but they add up to a little over 2 years.
Was it at the same place?
No. Oh. Most of it was at my first gym, first year and a half. Been at like this new gym for like 6-7 months.
Okay, so that's got to account for a lot of the time, you know? Because like when you switch gyms, they don't want to like just jump on board and throw you a new belt.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I expect that.
Basically starting.
And if I have to switch gyms again, which it might look like, then I'm going to screw myself over.
Yeah, so it might be worth it to like wait and hopefully get one.
Well, I can't wait to get a job. I have to get the job.
That's true.
Yeah, so it's like wherever that takes me, you know, if it takes me to the peninsula, then I have to find a gym around here and start that shit over again.
Yeah.
Or I got to try to get a job in the area.
But there is something cool to being like the dopest white belt on earth, in my opinion, you know, because then you just go to the tournaments, you don't got nothing to worry about, you know, you got the technique, and then eventually the belt's going to come, you know?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm the dopest white belt, but...
No, but you know what I'm saying, like you have all this time.
I definitely feel comfortable as a white belt, yeah. I don't feel like I'm a blue belt yet, but... I don't know if I ever will feel like I'm.
And who does? Yeah.
When I got mine, I was like, "Excuse me, are you sure I'm ready for this?"
I'm pretty sure someone else is gonna have to tell me I'm a blue belt.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that's how it works. That's why you need somebody who's been there to see like where you're going and where you've been. You know. Yeah. And that's why you can't promote somebody above you. Like, as a blue belt, like I can't promote you to a blue belt because I don't know what the fuck a blue belt
is
exactly.
Sense.
You know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I would have to be a purple belt to nominate you to promote you to blue belt.
What you went through as a blue belt.
I think that's how it works, especially back when they didn't have like black belts everywhere.
Yeah,
like, you would have like a purple belt in the state, and that's it.
Yeah,
so like
this stuff's like relatively new, right? I've seen pictures of Helio wearing a blue belt.
They say that he wears a blue belt. He wore a blue belt because he got kind of pissed off that everybody was like obsessing over belts so much. He's all like, "Well, it's just a belt, you know. Like if I put on a blue belt, it doesn't make my skill any less." And blue looks kind of cool, in my opinion.
Yeah. You know? Blue is dope, dude.
Yeah, I kind of want people.
I don't know what it is about the blue, but like, it's my favorite one, I think.
Yeah, it's the coolest
I mean,
looking.
Black belt's my favorite, but.
Yeah.
But
they say that's where everybody quits, is that blue. There's a blue belt curse, you know?
It's like 30-40% or something like that.
Yeah, there's a big drop off.
Yeah.
But, well, it can't be more than people quit at white belt, right?
Yeah.
That's got to be.
No,
that's,
no, I think. I mean, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
That's got to be goddamn.
I guess it just works out like
right?
that. Yeah.
And the guys who go in there and get smashed, like we're getting smashed, like I'm getting smashed right now, and they're just like, you know, fuck this, I'm good. Right.
Yeah, blue belt's like the first real step is like, oh, you're here now.
Yeah,
you're staying here.
So
now.
You did
yeah,
it. Yeah.
But then that's when people freak out, you know.
Mm-hmm. And that's when people feel, from what I hear, that's when the upper belts, like the purple belts, the brown belts, and black belts, will actually start putting more pressure, real pressure on you during the roll. They won't be going easy on you, and then that new like no more. Safety, you know.
Right.
Safety.
Yeah.
I didn't really feel it. That's the aero dying bike. I didn't really feel a difference between how people rolled with me. It was probably mostly just in my own head. I was like, oh, now I can't let white belts tap me anymore, you know? But
they do, right? You still get tapped here and there, right?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll get tapped by a white belt. I can't remember the last time, but it'll happen. You know, anybody can get tapped, you know? What was I going to say just now? Say something.
No, I think... I think I've noticed as I've gotten a little bit better that I'm asking for more in return. Like, I'm asking for more of their game. Right. You know what I mean? I don't know how it's going to be when I get to a blue belt, but, like, even purple belts and upper belts that I'm rolling with are having to give me more because, like, I'm defending a little better. I know, like, oh, they're going for this. I know how to defend it. You know what I mean? Because I fucking lived here for a year.
Right.
I remember. Like, I'm comfortable, like, in awful positions. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, oh, I'd rather be here sometimes than be in mount because I've spent so little time in mount. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'm way more comfortable sometimes. You just, like, on my back, which is not good, you know? But it's just, like, I think that's just where I need to get comfortable. We're really starting from the ground up. Mm-hmm. In jiu-jitsu, there is no other option.
Right.
So, like... Sometimes somebody will have me in side control, and they'll be smashing me. And I'm like, well, I can hang out here all day. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, it sucks, but I could seriously hang out here all day.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, do your worst. Like, yeah, I'm hanging out. Yeah.
And,
it's not a position, you know, I want to be in, but I know how to handle myself there.
Right.
Right. And that's crucial.
Which is the point, right?
Yeah.
That's the point of being white.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was going to say...
Right? I mean, I don't know. I'm asking.
Well, no. Yeah, I mean, that's how Salo Ribeiro breaks it down in his book.
Yeah.
He says, like, first you got to learn how to survive. And then once you learn how to survive and be comfortable there, then you work on your escapes.
Okay,
then you work on guard. Then you work on sweeps.
Hell
then
yeah.
You work on dominant positions. Then you work on submissions.
Damn.
That's how he builds it up in his book. Like, each chapter, that's how he works it up. You think you're going to learn submissions first, but mm-hmm. it doesn't make... Yeah, you got to learn how to survive first.
Yeah.
But I was going to say that. I don't think that that's a function of your belt color, how much pressure they're putting on you. It's a function of how your technique is developing. Because you just said that they're putting more and more pressure on you, mm-hmm. even though you're still a white belt. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with the belt. It's about your technique
totally.
And what you can handle.
Yeah.
The only difference in the belts is, like, sometimes people will open up different things. Like, at blue belt, like, wrist locks are available in competition. So then more people in the gym will do wrist locks on you.
I've seen that.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at wrist lock and be like, left and right now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's a good thing to learn because I always forget about that.
Yeah, I get a bad
wrist locks are
out of your gym. I got wrist locked the first time I rolled with a guy there. It was a blue belt. He was wrist locking me, and I was like, "You can wrist lock here?" And he was like, "I don't know." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And I was like, "All right, well, I don't really know it, so, like, just when you're doing it, you know, make sure I'm aware of it, so I have time to tap, you know." Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some brown belts sometimes will be like if they see a knee bar available, and I can't do knee bars at my level, but they'll be like, "Hey, can I go for the knee bar?" I'm like, "Fucking go for it. It's fine with
me." Really?
Because I'll learn from it. No, go for it, but the same thing. Don't, like, torque it or anything, because I don't know what I'm doing. So, like, go slow, but go for it.
Just watching a knee bar after my knee injury, just watching one, I cringe, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if I ever get to that point, it's going to be a hurdle.
Yeah.
If I ever get to that point where I have to learn that.
Yeah. Yeah.
My wrists have been a little injured, so anybody plays with my wrists, but tap, that's it. Okay, I want to train tomorrow. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sarge, being kind of quiet, what do you think about?
Yes, I agree with everything.
Putting you on the spot, sorry about that.
I mean, yeah, we learn more stuff as you progress to the belts, but... I mean, I don't know what to say on that.
Okay, that's fine. I'll just cut this part out.
Can you do that? Have you been doing that?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, cut out the part of the very beginning with me.
I'll cut out a lot. I'll cut you out of the whole thing.
I was going to say, when it comes to wrist locks, these other weapons that they have on the higher belts, I do see some of the blue belts, even the higher belts, I can see them... think about it. I see them grab the position and then it registers in their mind they can't do it. Which throws me off because why I'm learning jiu-jitsu in the first place isn't for competition or anything like that. I just don't want to be caught in a situation where someone tackles me to the ground and I don't know what to do. And if I have something else to my disposal, something that's so simple as just doing a wrist lock, which I'm assuming is just grabbing the wrist and just twerking it, that would be awesome to know. And I get the fact that white belts are still untrained and a apparently spazzy, which I won't deny I've done before, but on the other side of that is this whole idea of not giving us the full range of capability that we have.
Right. It gets into that sport versus functionality argument again. I mean, I've had some coaches like I was like a month in or something like that, and he was showing me some self-defense wrist locks. I was like, oh, thank you. Like, I didn't even know that it was not allowed in sport. But it's like with the instructor, you know, everybody does a different style, you know.
And I think our
for the most part, people would just they won't like take advantage of you. It's not that they're not teaching you it. It's more that they don't want to be cheap to you because you're not allowed to. They assume most people are doing sport at our gym.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And a lot of people even do catch and release, which means that they'll get it. I think that's what you're describing.
Cool.
Is that they'll get the wrist lock, for instance, but they won't actually try to tap you with it.
Yeah.
Be like, oh, it's here. Move on to the next thing. Because that helps them train. Like, jump on it real quick and then move on. You were about to say something?
You got to think, too. I was just thinking as you guys were talking. Probably wrist locks and knee bars, they probably don't give those to white belts because it's not combative. Are you going to knee bar somebody in a street fight?
Knee bar,
like,
get the fuck
out of here. No way.
I can't
wrist lock? No, there's no way.
There's a wrist lock that you can do if somebody puts their hand on you.
Yeah, maybe if they don't yank it back fast enough.
Well, that's
you know what I mean?
You trap it.
So, like, they're giving us, we're learning the stuff to actually, we're learning stuff that we could actually use in a street fight. Mm. You know what I mean? And then, like, the sport, some of the deeper sport jiu-jitsu stuff, like if you guys are real tight up, like in a knee bar or some funny stuff like that, is for higher belts who are really into sport, you know what I mean, sport jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
But I've taken a bunch of combative stuff, and it's very rare that we're gonna talk takedowns, we're gonna talk shifting our weight the right way so you can't get thrown around, we're gonna talk like taking on you know what I mean, somebody who's charging you.
Right.
But you start to get into some of the fancy stuff, like wrist locks, which I kind of consider as fancy, unless somebody, I don't know, there's a real perfect scenario.
I wouldn't consider wrist locks fancy.
Really?
Maybe knee bar gets into the fancier.
Yeah.
Super fancy. It's not like a Baron Bolo or something like that. Yeah. I mean,
And even, like, stuff like that, you know what I mean? I kind of see it that way. It's why teach? Why?
That's not really combative.
Yeah. Like, the point of this is to fight someone. You know what I mean? And, I mean, I just got married, so I always think to myself, dude, if there was like some crackhead that just like opened my door and tried to like fuck my wife, like it's my job to fight this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like as men, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's our jobs to fight this person.
Well, lock your door too.
Yeah, for sure.
Why is he just opening the door?
You know what I mean? Does that freak you out a little bit? You know what I mean? That's literally our role.
That's the whole
walking around Earth.
If you look around my bed, there's a weapon in every corner. Like, I'm ready to fucking go, dude.
It's like if I'm trapped in this corner, well, guess what? Like, I just reach over here. But that brings up another point, though. Because is jiu-jitsu the best thing to prevent or for combat?
Fuck yeah.
So if someone starts swinging on you, yes, you can go ahead and avoid it.
I saw some YouTube video where this, like, master kung fu fighter. Some master kung fu fighter fought an MMA fighter who'd been retired for 10 years.
The old kung fu master?
Yeah, he fought an old MMA fighter who'd been retired for like 15 years.
Oh, a young kung fu guy?
I don't know.
I remember an old kung fu guy getting destroyed.
In like 10 seconds?
Oh my God.
Anyways, this guy who was a retired MMA fighter for 15 years, like literally hadn't trained in 10 to 15 years, kicked the shit out of this kung fu guy in 10 seconds. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's absolutely proven, tested, you know what I mean?
Well, here's the thing is that I've heard it argued that sport jiu-jitsu is taking it away from that, though.
Yeah.
You know, because you're able to get into these weird positions that aren't functional in an actual street
fight.
That's
what I'm getting at.
And I've heard it argued that an MMA class is probably better off for you in self-defense than a pure jiu-jitsu class nowadays. Unless the jiu-jitsu is incorporating the ideas of too far, too close, distance management to manage the strikes as well.
And you tell them that too, right?
Combatives do, not sport
jiu-jitsu. They do that in your combatives?
Combatives is about space.
Yeah, I really like that. I really like having
I would love to take them like that.
Like, if there's too much space, they're raining down.
Exactly.
If they're close enough, what are they going to do? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's how a lot of the other martial arts started out, as effective forms of self-defense. Mm-hmm. But as they developed tournaments and they made it more artsy and this and that, it started drifting away from that. But there are still like traditional martial arts like Kenpo Karate and stuff like that that are still good.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing Taekwondo being implemented in UFC.
Yeah, I have a good feeling about Taekwondo.
Karate too.
Karate, like, yeah. Like Lyoto Machida.
Yeah, that stuff works too if you, Wonder Boy.
Yeah.
Point karate. He's a karate guy, right?
Yeah.
Street Fighter. I just I can't remember if I began jiu-jitsu with the intent to just get exercise and kind of like learn to move a little bit, or if I really wanted to defend myself. I really can't remember. I know it's kind of now it's kind of drifting more into the self-defense. After I tried competing, I was like, I think I prefer the self-defense side of it.
Yeah.
It didn't feel right. I don't know.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like it was me.
Yeah, that's kind of, I started for sure for self-defense, and then the physicality, the physical activity was bonus.
What happened?
What are you guys laughing at?
No, that I was just hovering over trying to get him out.
Exploring his dominance.
I wish we had a video.
Yeah.
It just shows you in the back just hovering over him for no reason. What was it? Yeah, I started with self-defense, and then like, I did my first tournament because I figured it was a good way to simulate, not necessarily. I thought you were hovering over me for a second. I thought you were doing it again.
I just got everybody creeped out.
Yeah.
You have the Canon here. We could film it.
Yeah, we already started.
Okay.
Next one. Okay. I have the GoPro too, but I just didn't feel like setting it up.
Plus, we need to clean this place up.
I started with tournaments so I can simulate a pressure, not necessarily a street fight, but simulate a pressure.
There you go.
You know, so that's why one of the big reasons I keep doing it, because I don't necessarily like that. I don't like the competitive nature. I'm not very good at being competitive. So I'm trying to develop that competitive muscle at the same time. But the big thing is stress management and learning how to deal with that in the moment.
You're totally right. I had that same thought process.
You know?
Somehow forgot it. But.
So I figure that's the closest thing besides an MMA fight to a street fight. You know?
Good point, man.
Yeah. Or like a kickboxing fight.
Good point.
Yeah. But getting back to your thing in terms of jiu-jitsu's effectiveness, I think if it's an untrained person, jiu-jitsu is probably one of the more effective ways.
Yeah.
But nowadays, is there any untrained people out there?
Oh, yeah.
Because I think of it this way. How big is MMA right now?
Yeah.
And the people who are cocky enough to get into a fight are either shit-faced or they're semi-confident in their fighting ability.
They've hit a bag once.
They hit a bag once, maybe, but or could be that they've... Real
big
nice.
Confidence, like over inflation or nothing, you know?
I mean, you won't see a guy start swinging immediately unless they have some reason in their head behind them actually succeeding in this fight.
But see, you're coming from the point of, like, you're an MMA fan. So your world is MMA fan, you know? Hmm. So you don't, a lot of people don't watch it. A lot of people still, you know, just watch football or whatever. So a lot of people watch WWF. WWE. And there was tons of people there, and a lot of people still think it's real.
Yeah, and everybody knew every lyric and every word and everything. Yeah, it was unbelievable how many fans there were, like, who were still that into it.
Uh-huh.
You know,
I
couldn't
believe it.
It's pretty crazy, yeah. And the pyrotechnics and all this crazy shit.
They made bank.
I think you're missing the point on this one. It's not that there's a ton of MMA fans overall. I'm just saying it's so influential that it's slowly poured into a lot of realms of exercise, general exercise, these Tabata classes. You got like Tai Bo,
cardio kickboxing, and stuff. Yeah,
exactly.
Like that.
So you got a lot of these things. Nick,
man, Tai Bo can't fight.
Good. It works, man.
My brother, he did kickboxing for a while, and he doesn't even think about MMA. He only likes basketball and things like that. So I mean, a lot of these aspects have poured over into regular people's lives, and I feel...
But you know what, though? I think the more you do this, the less you want to fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, people who train...
But why?
I got to think that... Because they're humbled on a daily basis. They know that they're not the shit because they're getting their asses handed to them.
And they know the risks.
And they know the risks involved, yeah.
But I do think that there's something right to what you're saying, Cyrus, is that it has poured into it more into the mainstream, but I don't know if it's enough to limit the effectability of jiu-jitsu.
Right.
I'm not saying...
You know what I mean?
I am saying...
What's
it's
your
not opinion? Limiting the effectibility.
Effectibility? Is that a word?
I'm not sure.
Efficacy.
Efficacy.
Is efficacy a word?
Efficacy, with Fs.
That's a nice word.
But, thank you, brother.
Like if you get into kerfuffle with someone.
Really?
Huh?
Are you gerrymandering me?
No, it's she's figuring into a kerfuffle.
Excuse me. You said something else to
kind of
me.
A kerfuffle.
What is that?
It's like a
like a skirmish?
Yeah. Like a skirmish, yeah.
You said something else that tripped me out, like in text message or something like that. I forgot what it was. No, like Elmer Fudd word or something.
I'm saying the only thing I was gonna say was you put someone who does kickboxing for most of his life. Then that even is like,
okay, so begin.
I'm sorry. I can't get over the word kerfuffle. Is that a thing? I'm Googling that shit.
No, the only reason I noticed because some reporter asked Steph Curry and Kevin Durant.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, what about that kerfuffle you got into?
Kerfuffle?
They were both like, the fuck?
Kerfuffle.
It's got to be the number one thing on YouTube, Google right now because of that reporter who asked them.
Okay. A kerfuffle is a commotion or fuss, especially one caused by conflicting views. There was a kerfuffle over the championship.
See?
There you go.
Yeah.
Science. Sorry, Cyrus.
Oh, yeah.
Kerfuffles.
So walk us through the scenario.
The scenario. So let's say you're a white belt in jiu-jitsu versus a whatever the white belt equivalent of kickboxing would be. I feel like you can naturally pick up kickboxing or something like that because everyone's seen boxing in their life. They have a general idea of how to throw a punch, throw a kick.
I don't know if I agree with you.
Yeah, you don't agree?
Surprised on that.
I was terrible when I started kickboxing. I had no idea. I just knew that you hit with the first two knuckles, and I learned that from Mr. Miyagi, and that's it. You know what I mean?
I don't know anything about throwing right now. But like I said, the white belt equivalent. So you've gone to enough classes where you know how to throw a punch, you know how to throw a kick.
Yeah.
You're not the best.
Yeah.
But you take someone who's a white belt in jiu-jitsu, you put them in a ring together, would you honestly say the white belt in jiu-jitsu is going to be the victor?
I can't say that ever.
Yeah. But I would probably put money on the white belt in jiu-jitsu. Depending on who he is.
If I had to, yes.
It depends on the person, too.
Yeah, there's way too many variables.
Yeah, but I would be inclined, obviously I'm biased because I basically only train jiu-jitsu, but I would be inclined to put the money on the jiu-jitsu guy.
See, that's the only thing is...
What is your argument? What are you saying?
Jiu-jitsu overall is meant for a ground game. The places that we're going to is purely... Not purely, but it's mostly geared towards competitive jiu-jitsu.
Sport.
So, if it's something for self-defense, would jiu-jitsu be the correct answer to that? Just because...
I think your mind would change, Cyrus, if you took a few combatives classes.
I think his mind would change once he starts to actually see some improvement and a new white belt comes in and he rolls with that guy.
Because
that changes my...
I've done that. How many months have you trained?
Let's see... Like, the first time I felt that level of dominance, I was like, holy shit, I am learning something. Like, that was the first time I really felt like jiu-jitsu was something
powerful.
4 or 5 months
with a month and a half off.
Wait, October? No, that's not including the month and a half off. This is since October.
So it's called 6 months?
So I'm still trying to understand exactly what you're saying. You're saying that you think that sport jiu-jitsu has made it so non-efficacy? No.
Yeah.
Non-effective.
In a kerfuffle.
I think the way that I saw jiu-jitsu was a way to do self-defense.
Yeah.
And it was also going to be great cardio and everything like that.
Uh-huh.
The problem I saw with that was...
You're not sold.
I do see the benefits. If anyone took me to the ground and it was one of those situations, I would destroy them. Who is it? A white belt version of a kickboxer versus me. It's getting the person to the ground. That's the main problem.
I see what you're saying.
It's closing that gap. Yeah. And you can learn from that.
I think what Tony's saying is correct. Then your mind would change with more combative classes. Because at our gym, me and Cyrus train at the same gym, we don't do a lot of takedowns. You know what I mean? So I think I agree with Tony that your opinion would probably change if you did more takedowns.
Yeah.
If you want, there is a takedown class I might go to on Mondays if you want to go down. It's half an hour away.
Where is
Talk
that?
About it later.
But, that was the main thing. I do know that they do have certain things where they show you how to take down. I know they even draw upon some aspects of judo where that supplements it.
Yeah. I mean, we can settle this by watching UFC 1 if you want.
Oh, you mean the one with that Gracie?
Yes, sir.
See,
that's too with weird. Hoist Gracie.
They can't keep you going.
They had high level savant guys and.
Were they high level or was
that
it
guy was high level for sure?
What was he?
Yes, the Savat guy was high level in Savat, whatever.
Savat. Yeah, I mean, think about it. You put what's that asshole in the movies who does Aikido?
Oh, Steven Seagal.
Put Steven Seagal against Hickson to see what happens.
Oh, dude, that's not fair.
He'll rip his fucking that's head right off. And
watch Choke. You can see some professionals go against Hickson. You know what I mean?
You never gone through the Gracie. Gracie
Combatics?
The what are the videos called?
Gracie in action.
Gracie challenges.
No, that's Marcelo in action. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. They did challenge fights with everybody.
So what I'm saying is high level, like talking black belts, things like that. You definitely see sort of dominance in some aspects. You saw, like you mentioned, the.
I feel like you're pitching a new league to me. You're doing like a UFC, but really at the beginning, like you know how they did
the white belt UFC
exactly, like the styles, like
white belt
Brady, how the first UFC was. How the first UFC was, except we're not taking black belts, we're doing it with white belts, you know? Like
there's a reason all those fuckers aren't still in the UFC, and it isn't still the way it is, yeah. You know what I mean? And, like, all the good, all the stuff that really works is now at the top.
Yeah, like, you know kickboxing is, it works. That's why it's stuck around.
Yep.
You know? Jiu-jitsu, the only thing was that in pure form, jiu-jitsu versus kickboxing, jiu-jitsu won out. That was the only thing that was proven in the UFC. But the best thing is a mix of all of them.
But was that truly the best of the best versus the best
I
of the
think
best?
So, yeah.
Within
would
the
it be
UFC
like
rules.
Putting in Mike Tyson versus one of
listen,
these
dude, I mean there's still karate guys in the UFC. There's high level you can be high level anything, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, no, totally.
In the UFC. I'm saying the vast majority of fighters use the same like four styles. Muay Thai,
yeah.
You need to have some sort of grappling.
Wrestling.
You need to have some sort of boxing, kickboxing, Muay Thai type thing.
Yeah,
there is kind of a point to Cyrus's thing when you talk about Ronda Rousey, who's an excellent grappler, and then once somebody figured to keep her out on the outside with kickboxing, it worked.
Figured out she couldn't throw a punch. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
you know. I mean, there is something to that, but
yeah,
that's what's cool. Like we do have that aspect where MMA gyms make everything. Kind of wrapped all together in one. I mean, we even get taught, even at our kickboxing classes, the Muay Thai style of kickboxing, not the regular little karate kick style, I guess. I'm not sure if that's a normal thing or not.
We'd like to reiterate that we're white belts and we don't know shit about shit, okay?
Disclosure. I know nothing.
This is a full disclosure. We don't know what we're talking about, okay? And we know that.
We're figuring it out.
We know that. And we know if there's any black belts in the room, we would shut up and let them talk. But that's not the point of the podcast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is White Belt Radio.
It's 4-on-1. We take out that
black belt. I think Cyrus is making a good point, though. And then, like, why the fuck are we doing this? Is it to be really good at sport jiu-jitsu? Is it to be Marcelo? Or is it to be Hickson? You know what I mean?
Well, I would think the goal is Hickson.
Yeah.
That's what my heart says.
Yeah. I know Hickson. I don't know any of the other people.
That's what both my heart... I know. I can't describe it. I would love to be Hickson. But being Marcelo is pretty damn cool, too.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's fun. Sport is just so fun, too. You know?
No, I agree. It's a shame for, like, all these high-level jiu-jitsu athletes not to go down the road of sport jiu-jitsu and say, hey, where does this thing lead?
Yeah.
Where does this thing go?
It's
you know
too
what I mean?
Fun not to do it. Sorry.
How artistic and how can we make this? But it's important to remember that Baron Bolos are cool. Not that I can even do one.
Just don't do them in a street fight.
But what are we doing? Yeah, what are we doing?
Those motherfuckers that do Baron Bolo can probably get away with it in a street fight.
There was some YouTube video.
Probably not advisable, but you probably.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wouldn't either.
But I don't have a good Baron Bolo, so
I don't either.
Hurry over to Angle Walkers. They're ready.
Yeah. I think the duck under, like, I would try to keep it standing, maybe go to the back, get a rear naked choke.
That's probably
my favorite description of how jiu-jitsu works is that your ultimate goal is the rear naked choke, because that's the choke that you can use effectively without any garments being involved, and you have probably the most dominance over them because you have the back. And anything else besides the rear naked choke is leading to the rear naked choke in a street fight situation. For instance, an arm bar is only there to take away one of their weapons, break their arm so it's easier to get to their back to choke them out.
Right, because they'll probably still try and punch you after you break their arm. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because there's aggro guys out there who there's PCP'd out or whatever it is, that they can go through a broken arm. Nobody can withstand a properly applied rear naked choke because you're cutting off oxygenated blood to the brain.
That will end the fight.
That will end the fight, exactly. It can end their life, but it can end the fight too. You know, put them to sleep and that's it. That's probably my favorite description. The rear naked choke's the holy grail. So that should probably be your ultimate goal in a street fight in terms of jiu-jitsu.
There's the argument of multiple attackers. That's always that's where jiu-jitsu falls off.
Yeah, for sure. Because you can't distance management with kickboxing.
You can't sit in an armbar.
You can't grapple with
someone.
You gotta throw mitts.
Unless you really know what you're doing. Yeah, that's probably the best way. Throw a couple mitts and then run the fuck out of there.
Okay, I got a question. If you guys were to pick a striking style, what would it be? What would you think would save your ass?
My inclination is Muay Thai.
Yeah, I think so.
Because it has the most weapons.
No question about it.
I mean, as far as what I know.
So would you train Muay Thai or would you go to boxing?
Muay Thai, no question.
If I had a choice?
Yeah.
Muay Thai.
Why wouldn't I throw a kick?
Yeah. I mean,
kickboxing has kicks.
You can do kickboxing.
Based on what striking arts I know, which aren't that many, I would probably put Muay Thai at the top because you get your elbows in there too. And then kickboxing second because you still got your kicks and punches, and then boxing a little bit lower because you're only using your hands. But there is value to developing all of them, you know.
For sure.
Yeah.
Like we were saying earlier, like there's karate guys in the UFC.
Yeah, karate.
They're far and few in between, and you're a special motherfucker if you can do that.
That karate's so cool. You can jump in there and get out so quick.
But there isn't. Yeah, there isn't a ton of guys doing karate. You got to be starting when you're a kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But here's the thing: you can't just use striking. You have to know some grappling if you want to be complete. And you can't just do grappling. You have to know some striking to be complete.
Yeah.
You can specialize, but...
Otherwise, you come Ronda Rousey.
You get Ronda Rousey.
Wah, wah.
Is there anyone in the UFC who's zero grappling abilities, but is crazy good at slipping out of grappling situations?
There's a ton of guys. They like to call that anti-jiu-jitsu. You know, where it's just like you're not going for submissions, but you're defending submissions. And you're just trying to work to stand up to get back into your realm and fight standing up.
Like a bars.
There's a lot of guys like that. And then there's a lot of guys that do the opposite, like a Damian Maia, who's really developed his striking. And for a while, he was just using his striking. I mean, he was trying to win with his striking, but he then went back to what brought him to the dance, which is grappling and jiu-jitsu. So now he just uses the striking, barely actually, but he just takes you down and just smothers you. But he has his striking ability too.
Mm.
So my point is that that's his game plan. He's going to take you down, you know, but he has a striking there just for some backup.
If you watch those Gracie Challenge videos too, the only time that he's striking is to open up some room for a submission.
Right.
Yeah. So he's sitting inside control or something. He's throwing a couple elbows in there or, you know, whatever the
palm
strike. Yeah, the palm strike. But the guy goes to defend, turn away or something. Well, guess what? Now he has your back.
That's right.
Yeah.
We
don't really think about that when we're rolling, but that's probably how it would work.
Totally valuable, you know, to be able to strike while using jiu-jitsu. And that's what it was developed for. Developed for street fight situations. And the whole point, that's why they always say position over submission, because position is going to give you the best chance to not only apply submissions, but to strike, to limit his striking and maximize your striking. You know, that's why being on mount is so cool, because you can wind up and rain down on him, but he can't wind up because he's against the floor and it's really hard for him to throw up at you. Exactly, yeah.
Hands in the air.
So my question is, if I remember correctly, there was some Gracie guy maybe going back from the bars, some dude tried to...
Henzo. That's a great story.
Yeah,
he was doing a live Twitter update as it was happening.
Yeah. What the hell is this? And he takes the guy down, ends up
He tells a story on one of the Metal Morrises, but apparently he was leaving the gym or something like that, and a couple of guys, I think they were acting drunk and following him for a couple blocks. They're like, "Hey, can I get a cigarette?" And Henzo kept saying, "I don't smoke," and stuff like that. And eventually they caught up to him or whatever, and they had no idea who they were messing with. He drops the first guy, I believe, and then the one guy runs off or something. He gets a hold of one of the guys, and he does what's called raccooning, apparently. And they were doing this in Brazil, where it's like he got him in a dominant position, and he started wailing on his eyes. Just on his eyes. No, I think he put him to sleep and then did that. Oh. Right? So when he woke up, his eyes were all swollen, and he couldn't see. So he calls it raccooning because he got two black eyes.
That is the dirtiest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, not only that,
he was coming to him.
Not only that, he beat up this one guy. I think he let him go,
But then he followed him because he knew that they were going to have a meetup point, and he found the other guy too. I forget what happened after that. But yeah, he did a whole live Twitter as it was happening. So there's two guys following me and stuff like that. Yeah.
I gotta see that.
Kenzo.
Why have I never seen this? He has a live recording.
The body cam.
It was before they did like video on Twitter and stuff like that, but he was doing status updates, you know what I mean? Okay. Like, oh, there's two guys following me. Oh, they're asking for cigarettes or whatever it is, you know? Yeah, he tells the story on the Metamorphs that he fought on.
Holy
yeah.
shit. That's the fucking point I'm making, man. It's our job to fight these fucking crazy assholes out there if it comes to it.
That's what Henzo was saying, was that like, you were messing with me, but you were looking for a victim, so it could have been an old lady that you were messing with, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's why he felt that it was his duty to punish them.
Yeah.
You know, not just get away, but to punish them on top of it.
Yeah.
Henzo's so dope.
But here's my thing. So, are we learning only one aspect of jiu-jitsu and maybe something else that they know? Or are they teach in more combative, I guess the Gracies or whatever schools in Brazil.
They do combative stuff for sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, maybe they have something that bridges that gap that I'm talking about right now.
Tony's gym does that.
Yeah.
Just said.
Every Tuesday.
The
way that the Gracie, the
belt system.
Hero, the way they do it is they don't have their beginner white belts roll. They're too prone to. Sorry, Susan. So they don't have the white belts rule because they're too prone to injury and they bounce too quick. So what they do is they call like live fighting simulation or some shit, and someone will put on some gloves, some 4 ounces, and they'll be doing the striking, not like trying to knock them hard, but they're supposed to learn how to block and move their hips and everything away from them. How to manage the space first. I think that's how I saw it.
Did you guys see anything like that?
Yeah, you guys didn't see anything.
I forget the details of it, but yeah, they do stuff like that. And their first belt actually is like you get a white belt, and the first stripe on the white belt is like a combatives belt or something like that. You guys do that too.
That's what I have.
Yeah, your first stripe is what's the word?
All my stripes as a white belt are combative stripes.
All of them?
All of them. Yeah.
Oh, so
when I test combatives. I don't test anything sport jiu-jitsu. I test takedowns.
So when you get to blue, then you start.
You should know how to close space in it. Fight.
Yeah, so you have an upper hand on me. Like, I got to learn that stuff, you know? I really, really like to train that stuff.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I, like, am obsessed with sport jiu-jitsu just because of how fun it is. So it's I've kind of stopped going to the combatives classes. And I just go to sport jiu-jitsu classes. But you're right. I should get right back into that.
Yeah.
Start doing it. But, yeah, when it comes testing time, it's all combatives.
Yeah. That's what, the Gracies, what you were saying was that they do, like, an inverted pyramid where, like, or something like that. They want the base... of what you learn in jiu-jitsu to be combative stuff.
Yeah, and that's what they want everyone to try it at least.
So if you quit in that first time, you learn the self-defense stuff first. Then once you get past that, then you get into the sports stuff, you know, which I think is valuable. Because you don't want your purple belts getting beat up on the street, you know?
Yeah, if you're a black belt, you should be able to fuck someone up.
Yeah, there is also something to strategy too. Like, if you don't train taking a weapon out of somebody's hand, you have to learn how to use the tools that you learn in jiu-jitsu to apply them to specific situations that you might not encounter on a regular day basis in jiu-jitsu. For instance, a black belt might know how to control somebody's hand, but they have to remember that they have to apply that technique when the person has a gun in their hand. That's their goal. They can't focus on anything else but that. And if they have their tactics in order like that, then their skills come in handy, you know. But if you're just trying to do it like you do in the gym, then it's not going to work out for you, you know. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to do barambolos and shit like that, I don't know.
Never thought of that.
You're more well. Maybe I'm not saying that clearly. You're more well equipped to use tactics, but you have to know what tactics to use. Does that make sense? Right.
Yeah.
All right. It sounds like we're about to wind it up. We're done now. Well, this has concluded the episode 3 of the White Belt Radio. We have Pete here.
Tony.
Cyrus.
Yanni.
And that's it, motherfuckers. All right. Catch you next time. Hopefully we'll get it going on a weekly basis. Late.